God bless you today for being in Sunday school. He's so good. Let's open with prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We give you praise and glory and honor. You are great. Lord, we want you to be greater in our eyes and our hearts and our minds. Lord, just touch each one that's here today. Bless, Lord. And just let be here with us today. And we just give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Today, our lesson is God knows the way. Aren't you glad that God knows the way? And we don't have to ask some stranger for directions. He knows the way. We can ask him. Praise God. I found these couple funnies, and I wanted to start with them. I just think it's great to laugh. A man walked in to the top of a hill to ask God a question. He said, God, what's a million years to you? And God said, it's a minute. Then the man asked, well, what's $1 million to you? And God said, it's a penny. Then the man asked, God, can I have a penny? And God said, sure, in a minute. Right? Praise God. This one is, there was a scientist one time, and he went to talk to God, and he says, God, we can now clone humans. Man can make life and we can take care of ourselves. And this is a scientist, remember, and we don't need you anymore. And God laughed and said, you think? Well, show me. How can you make humans and life? So the scientist agreed. He reached down, grabbed a handful of dirt, and he started making a human. And God stopped him and said, whoa, not so fast, he said. Use your own dirt. Right? Oh, I love that. Okay, this last one is just good because we're talking about God knows the way. This man is looking for a parking spot and he's like getting very desperate. He prays to God. Oh Lord, deliver unto me a parking space, and I swear devoutly to keep all my sinful vices. Give them up, Lord, and I'm going to go to church on a weekly basis. And the clouds parted. And this ray of sunshine comes down, and there was one parking spot illuminated. And overjoyed, the man continues. He said, never mind, I found one. Never mind, I found a parking space. Help us, Lord, right? Praise God. I'm going to do this one. It was talking about Pentecostal churches, and I was like, okay, what do they think of us? He said, this gentleman was sitting at the back of the church, and the pastor approached him. He said, you will walk today. He told the pastor, I'm not crippled. You know, I'm not crippled. I can walk. He leaned over. He says, you will walk today. And the man just simply nodded, and he said, he went to the parking lot. He got there. He said he saw somebody had stolen his car.
I tell you what.
Right? Right? Oh, my. Okay. God knows the way. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father that, you know what? I'm so glad because we could be directed by so many things that people in the world are directed by. And I remember years ago, and this is before Christ, BC, I would kind of not really believe it, but I would read it. I would look at the horoscopes in the newspaper, and I'd go down to my Virgo sign, and I would just read it and think, I don't know. I mean, I didn't know if there was a God at the time. Is there a God? I just looked at it. It's like, so is that going to happen to me today? So, you know, you go through your day and you don't even think about it again. But there are people today, okay, sister, amen, I see you, that lived their lives by horoscopes and signs. And that is their direction. So when we have the word of God, God's word to us, something that's not from this world at all, but it's divine, it's from his lips to our ears and our heart, we have this the greatest direction. And then people that just, yeah, I mean, I thought of horoscopes and I thought how people just fall into that, just a trap of lies, just a trap of lies and believe that. And God is so good to us. Praise God. We're going to look in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 41. And our key verse today is two verses. It's in 38 and 40. We're going to read those. But I might go back a little bit in 41. 38 says, "And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Praise God. This is a beautiful story. I think we should just go right back to 41, right at verse 1. And I'm just going to read, and you can read with me. It says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the bank of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-flavored," I was going to say flavored, did you like that? "Favored and fat kind." They probably were flavored. So Pharaoh, in the dream, they probably were. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ear of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream." Well, in this story, we know how the story goes. He could not figure out these dreams himself, so he went to all the people in his kingdom, the magicians again, you know, to just sorcerers, magicians, to find what is the meaning of this dream. And nobody could figure out what the meaning of this dream was. So this is where we have Joseph again. God is shining a heavenly spotlight on this Hebrew boy again. And we have this young man again elevated from prison to the place of splendor in the palace. I should have done those alliteration, just speaking some other words this morning. Praise God. Because I'm having a hard time speaking. Praise God. He had proven himself to be faithful to God. And you know what? God ordered his steps. I love that story because it's so relatable to each one of us. And if we don't see ourselves in any one of those characters in the whole story of Joseph, we can relate to the family dynamics. We can relate to how it must have been for him to be so alone, so unfavored by his brethren, just missing his dad, missing his brother from his mother, Benjamin, just missing so much. And we can just kind of relate in so many ways. And I like that he just remained faithful. And so many other great characteristics. He had proven himself, and God did order his steps and bless him. These 2 dreams that Pharaoh had really caused Pharaoh to have such distress. So I honestly believe that because he had such distress, those dreams were from God, and he didn't know how to deal with them. You ever feel that way when God is working on you, and it's like, you've had dreams before, you've had thoughts, or you've had a vision before, you've read scripture before, but this one won't get away from you. It's just got a hold of you, like in the clutches of your soul. I just would step back and say, Lord, show me what you want me to see, because God will often speak. And in this particular instance, he was speaking to Pharaoh through this dream, and he couldn't get it. No one could get it. And even today, we can look back in Egyptian history, and you can see in some of these paintings that they did, you can see the dreams that Pharaoh had. So we know that, Josephus also, when we look at different historians, we have an account of the Word of God. But society has an account of the Word of God. These things really did happen. So Pharaoh's dream was like done with these in colors. And it was of these cows standing half submerged in the Nile in reeds. And they're taking refuge from the blistering heat, right? And then coming out of the water, then they would go to pasture. And this is what Pharaoh was seeing. And the troubling part of the first dream, you know, that the seven cows were then devoured up by seven more cows. That would have probably been very troubling for him, but he couldn't get away from it. You know, sometimes you can just, I'll just have a glass of milk and go back to sleep. It wasn't happening. And it wasn't going to happen until God gave a revelation. And then there was revelation. And when there's revelation, something has to be done. We need to do something when we get revelation. And so that's exactly what happened in this story. Praise God. So that second dream came, similar message. And those plump ears of corn were taken and swallowed up by those nasty wind-driven blown ears of corn. But the magicians could not figure out what it was all about. I'm sure some of them may have guessed. But I think at that point it would have been like your life, or you tell a falsehood to the Pharaoh. So Joseph was summoned then. So we get to this point in Joseph's life story. But there are so many years before this particular moment. I mean, he was living the same life, his best life in prison, right? He was living his best life that he could live for God in prison until he was summoned that particular day. And that's when the cupbearer goes, oh yeah, when I was not in favor with you, King Pharaoh, when I wasn't in favor, there was a Hebrew boy that he shared two of the dreams and they both came true. But I just didn't want to remind you about it. But there's a man, he's in the prison. So he's probably like, you know, sweating under his beautiful chef's cap or whatever he wears. He was probably sweating, you know, thinking, oh man, I just reminded him that I actually was not in his favor. I was out of his favor. Okay, well, Joseph gets to go and stand before Pharaoh. But there's a little bit of there's a process before he gets to go there. He gets to have a shower or bath, whatever they did. He was shaved as the Egyptian custom was. He had a fresh change of linen clothes. I shouldn't say linen. Linen comes, but a fresh change of clothes. And then he was given the dream, told the dream by Pharaoh, and God gave him an interpretation. Praise God. Both of those dreams predicted that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, lots, so much. The Bible says that it was more than the grains of sand. You couldn't count them anymore. They just stopped counting. So much for the storage that there was going to be for, and then there was going to be those 7 years of famine, which God's revelation then, of course, demanded a response. And I thank God that, you know, we get revelation, and when that comes, God does want us to do something. It comes to our spirit, and we get a hold of it, and it's like, okay, I'm going to use this for your glory, Lord. Whatever it is, it's going to be to promote the Word of God, promote the kingdom of God. Just promote you, Lord. I want to be your hands and feet, Lord. And I think this church, you are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Praise God, you are. And I thank God for that. This beautiful picture of Joseph coming before Pharaoh, he advised Pharaoh to choose a wise man that would oversee storing 20% of the grain during each of the years of plenty. I thought, man, you know what? He was wise. If we just took 20% and we just, you know what I mean? What if we stored 20%, could you imagine? That's amazing. Okay, that's a totally different lesson. This is where Pharaoh recognized. He recognized Joseph as a man capable to take care and handle such a great big job. God had given him the interpretation. Because these three words, because of the Spirit of God in him. Pharaoh recognized that in Joseph. And I thought, man, Pharaoh, who think of all the things he believed at that time and the traditions and the Egyptian culture that he believed. And the Hebrews didn't even eat with the Egyptians. And this was a Hebrew in his prison. And I'm thinking, wow, you just don't go digging around your prison for the next second greatest leader in your kingdom, your palace. You don't just go like, I think I'll go down to Wildwood and see if I can find the next vice president. Okay. You know, but because of the Spirit of God in him, people recognize, church, the Spirit of God in us. People recognize the Spirit of God in us. And I love when we meet someone else who has a Spirit of God in them. It's almost like Mary and her cousin Elizabeth. You know, when you meet someone who has the Spirit of God, it's like a connection, and you feel the Spirit of God. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So Pharaoh recognized that in Joseph. You know what? When we get to meet people every day, whether we go to the gas station to get gas, because we're going to see people, even if we don't really get out a whole lot, we're going to go to the grocery store. We have dentists, doctor appointments, whatever we do to just live. We're going to see people. Let them see Jesus in us. Let them see his spirit, like Joseph was able to show God's spirit, and Pharaoh recognized that. And centuries later, Daniel was chosen to be the third highest ruler in Babylon for the same reason. Think about that. The Spirit of God. Joseph had been faithful over little things, and now he would become ruler over all the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. Wow. We're faithful in the few things God gives us. And one day, guess what, church? We are going to rule and reign with him. Praise God. And you know what? God orders our steps. We may think, wow, I didn't see this in my journey. If there's a path, I know there's funnies, you know, if you see a fork in the road, just take it. But God orders our steps. We think, man, if I had done this, I would have been here. I wouldn't be over there if I had done that thing, but I never did it. God knows exactly where you're at, and there was a reason why you didn't do that thing, because your steps are ordered by the Lord. Where you go, your comings, goings, rising up, going down, it's ordered of God. Proverbs 16:9 says, although we may make plans and set goals, God directs our steps. Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful. Yeah, praise God. Of all the choices we've made, you know, you want to live your life without regrets. You just want to live your life for God without regrets. And I tell you what, this past week has just put a fire in me to I would just want to serve the Lord even more so. Just love him with all my heart more so. Just be more like Jesus Christ and share more of Jesus Christ to a very sad and a very dying world. Joseph received three things from Pharaoh. This is where we go to that linen that I was talking about early. One being a signet ring, and that was a seal used for signing documents. So when the seal was impressed on a soft clay document, which when it hardened, then it left an indelible impression of the ruler's seal, and that carried the authority of Pharaoh. I was thinking it was going to be wax, but nope. Of course, it's like clay or mud. Pharaoh also dressed him in linen clothes, and he gave him a gold neck chain, which made him second in command of all of Egypt. How many of you have been to Egypt here? Are we going to go one day? Anyway, so Pharaoh had him ride in the second chariot so all the people could see him and give him respect and homage, to know that Pharaoh had, this is my second in command. As a token of Joseph's new status, Pharaoh also gave him a wife, Aseneth, and she was from the priestly family of On, which is a city. It was a center of sun worship, and it was 7 miles north of Cairo. And I'm not going to go into where she came from in her worship, but we'll just move. Joseph was 30 years old at the time when he was installed as Pharaoh's second in command. That was 13 years after he was sold by his brothers. 13 years. That's just a long time to be in bondage of a prison in a country that you don't even know. He was not raised in Egyptian culture. He was raised in the Hebrew culture. So this was just totally different for him. And still, he served God and was faithful to God. And still, Pharaoh recognized God's spirit in him. Still, after all those years. And folks, he was alone. What an amazing character. I mean, he just had an amazing character. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We are blessed when we delight in God's law, when we delight in his word, when we delight in his faithfulness to us. We are blessed. When we love, I keep backing up into this beautiful thing, when we love his instruction, when we love just the things of God, when we love his word, praise God. And Joseph was able to interpret Pharaoh's dream because God gave him the interpretation. And he was very fast and clear to let Pharaoh know that it wasn't Joseph's interpretation, that God had given the interpretation. I love that because, man, he could have just said, yeah, that was just me, and just leave God out of it. And Pharaoh would have been like, oh, this is my next, you know, he's going to be my next number one magician or whatever. But he didn't. He gave God the glory. And Pharaoh recognized that you serve a God who can do these things right off. So I think Pharaoh's eyes were like, you're God. Your God can do this. So this beautiful, a great leader in Egypt, Joseph, you know, he became this leader in Egypt, but he was a leader even before that. When he was in the prison, when he was in the prison house, he became a leader amongst the people there. And all along, he just had to believe that God had a plan and God was directing his steps. Praise God. And it could have been a very different story. We could do a writing. You know how some of these books or movies now will have two different endings that you can choose whichever ending you want? I know that's strange, but very strange. But this could have been a very different ending if Joseph had lived and acted differently. If he had acted he could have responded to Pharaoh with some sarcasm and some hatred and some cuss words in Egyptian, which are Hebrew. He could have done that because he had just spent so many years in prison. He could have, but he didn't. Praise God. And he was rewarded for his faithfulness in following God. We are rewarded for our faithfulness in following God. Even when we can't see it, even when it's not in front of us, even when it's not in our checkbook, even when it's not in our family, even when it's not in our medical records, folks, he is faithful to us. Praise God. We love him. We serve him. Praise God. Oh, I just love the character of Joseph. He was a man of integrity. He was an honest person. He was tempted multiple times, and yet he resisted. And folks, he was alone. It's like, you know what? It's who what you are when nobody is watching you. That is your character. That is your integrity. When there's no one else around and you're surfing the internet, that is you. That's your character. Let that character be just squeaky clean and loving the Lord. Just let it be pleasing to God. Amen. He was humble. He was a humble man in power and in prestige. Whoa, it's really easy to get a puffed head really fast. That's why prayer is so important. It's so important. Lord, you know, because it's not in us. Everything that we have is from him in our being. Praise God. And for him, he could have got a puffed head really easily because he was elevated from, well, one day he was having lunch at the prison's table, you know. Maybe he got double trade that day, Lonnie. Who knows? Who knows? He probably didn't because he was a very honest man. But he was working in the prison, and then the next day he was working in the palace for Pharaoh. But he was humble, and it did not change him, folks. It wasn't a big deal to him. He stayed the same. His character was the same. He was disciplined. He had the proper long-term perspective. You know what? We need that proper long-term perspective because we may be here today, April 2022, and we're not where we want to be yet, but knowing that one day, the proper perspective, this is our proper perspective. When the world is ugly and it's raging, family, friends, you name it, this is our perspective. Even while he was in jail for a crime that he did not commit, so he could have been very mad about that, you know what? He was still disciplined to look ahead, to know that God has a plan and he orders my steps. Praise God. He was faithful while he was in jail throughout all of his turmoil. Maybe he got whipped a few times. Maybe he got beat a few times. We don't know. I mean, there are bullies in jail, period. Joseph remained faithful to God. He never wavered from his commitment to follow him. He showed grace. And this is where we can just see the similarities between Christ and Joseph. He showed grace and mercy to his brothers, even when they had sold him into slavery. He did his job with excellence. He was a competent person. Whether he was a servant in the jail or a servant in the palace, it didn't matter to him. It doesn't matter to us. God's put us in places. He's put us in jobs. We do and we serve to the best of our ability as if we're serving the Lord himself. And you know what? God will take care of us and he will direct us. And I thank God for that. It's such, you know what? His word is so beautiful. It's just such a beautiful blueprint for just Christian living and Christian disciplines. It's a beautiful thing. And whether or not he was in that prison or he was in the palace, he was competent. He delivered the dream interpretation as God said to Pharaoh. And then he gave Pharaoh something to chew on, to think about. You need to find a wise man in your kingdom that can oversee all of this. And I believe God gave him that wisdom to share that with Pharaoh, because Pharaoh then said, can we find anyone with such a spirit of God and as wise as you? So he elevates Joseph to become the manager of all of Egypt. He was wise beyond his years. So when he was in the pit, thrown into the pit, and then sold into slavery, you know what? He had to have some wisdom because he could have said and done some pretty stupid things to get himself in a place that was even worse than he was already. But he was 30 when he stepped into that position of leadership in Egypt, 30 years old, and he was able to pretty much save as much food as they needed to save, and not just save it, but store it, and all the things they needed to save. And then for those 7 years of famine, that's a lot of time for a lot of people. He was a great planner, very strategic, and so he would instruct the officials to prepare for the famine. So he was like a businessman. In many respects, he did so many things. He had so many great characteristics. And through the years, gathering that food, storing it up, and then having so much food and storage, wheat, grain, I should say, that when those 7 years of famine came, they were fine. God provided for them through all of that stored food. Joseph, even in the midst of all of his adversity, he served God. He had this godly character that was like, you know what? I may not be where I think I should be right now or I want to be, but I know that God is directing my steps and God knows the way. Just knowing the fact that he probably knew the one true God of Israel. Number one, I know God. I've heard the stories from my youth. I know what God can do. We're in that same boat. We know God. We've heard and seen the miracles of God. We know what God can do. So in our deepest battle, whatever that battle may be, our deepest struggle, we know that God is able to see us through because he's God. Praise God. I'm glad that he's seeing us through and not maybe my great next-door neighbor who I would compare to Cornelius. I mean, seriously, she's great, but she's not God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she'll bless and give and do and say, and it's amazing, but she's still not God. He's able to do that. Thank God. And you know what? It doesn't matter how many dollars you have in your bank account, because some, you know, we're so human. We're so human. That's not what's going to save us either. It's not okay for that rainy day. You know, that rainy day can come in 30 seconds, and you may just be in a flood. But God, he's the one that knows the way. He's the one that directs our steps. Praise God. And I'm just going to say this because I just feel to say it. I know years ago, man, you know, just financial difficulties or just trying to make it as on a one income, two kiddos, you know, just you know, life, you know, as a young married couple. And I would just put those bills down on that whatever payday, payday. And I would just, first of all, I just shed a few tears. And then I said, Lord, you give all of this money, this blessing to Lonnie so that we can live. I'm praying that you would give me wisdom now to pay what I need to pay and do what I need to do to be a good steward of the money that you've given us. And I tell you what, and I would even ask God for specific blessings if there was something coming up. And did he not do those specific blessings? And I would say, and I wasn't surprised, because I know people are like, oh, so surprised that God came and blessed me with. Come on, church. We pray for these things, and then these things happen, or God heals us. Like, oh, I can't believe he healed me of this. God can do anything. And when he does, it's like, Lord, I want to give you glory. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. And I'm always amazed that whatever I ask for, he always does exceeding abundantly above what I ask. I mean, it's amazing. I'm thinking, are you serious? Lord, you're so good. I'm so thankful because he did. He went above and beyond what I could ever ask. There are going to be people in your life, in my life, that are going to experience God's spirit through you. And the sad thing is, folks, is that may be the only time in history in their lives that they're going to experience God's spirit was that meeting, that chance meeting with you and that person. And that's the time that it's going to be like, man, I get to share God's spirit with them because God's spirit is in us. We are living an abundant Christian life, praise God. We want to share that. And joy like that in our spirits, it overflows to people. And there's something when you see someone and they see, it's amazing. I love it. When they recognize Christ in you, their eyes, there's something, it's like they light up. It's like something, they're drawn to like moths to the flame. They are just drawn to you. It's like amazing. And then get just ready because you'll be visiting for a while because they just want to share and talk to you because they almost don't want to leave you. They want to be with you. Because it's like being with God. I'm not saying you're God. I'm saying the Spirit of God in you. It attracts people. It does something so amazing. So remember this year, 2022, you may be the only Jesus that some person may ever see. And I just feel that weight so heavily. It's just so great. Because every person, it doesn't matter who they are, they're a soul. Yeah, are there Satanists here? Yes, there are. There are. Do they have a soul? Yes. Are there Muslims? Yes. Do they have a soul? Yes. Are there? Yes. That soul, when they were born, okay, a little science lesson. When we're all born, God breathes the breath of life into every single baby born. It doesn't matter. Red and yellow, black and white, it doesn't matter what nationality. God breathes into that soul. So honestly, people sometimes say, how could you visit someone who believes that? I said, how could I not? Because that person has a soul that God has breathed breath into. They deserve God as much as anybody else. So help us as Pentecostals not to be prejudiced to souls that need saving. Because you may be the only Jesus some will ever see. Show them Christ. Show them Jesus Christ. I saw this man bicycling. Would you say cycling? He was on a bike between Soldotna and Kenai on that little walkway that's cleared out and always... It's always cleared out, by the way. In the middle of winter, it's cleared out. So, I know, right? And our roads are not cleared out. Okay, so it's cleared out, and this guy's bicycling. Okay, not in the traditional sense where you've got your hands on the handlebars and you're just going bicycling. I was so taken back because I did this as a child, but only for like 3 seconds. He was sitting back on his bike with his hands in his hoodie pocket. He must have these little ear things on, listening to something. And he didn't have his hands on the handlebars, so he was like, no hands, just on his bike. And I thought, you know what? Isn't that amazing? Because traditionally, when little kids learn to ride, they're just like knuckle white gripped on that handlebar. And they're so concerned about going straight that even if they make the smallest little, like just a correction of like an inch, they just fall over because they're just, it's so tight. And they just can't let go of that steering wheel, and they're just so focused on it. But this guy was just, like, so chill, so relaxed. He looked like he was having the greatest time. He actually looked really happy, unlike the joggers I see on the side of the road. They look very sad and miserable. Seriously, I'm like, why do you do this? They look sad. So this guy, he was sitting very relaxed with his hands in his pockets and his hoodie, and he had no hands on the steering wheel. And it's just cruising along, and I was thinking how happy and relaxed he looked. And then I thought about us trusting God and how we might look and how we might act when we're trusting God. He's trusting his ability to ride this bicycle, right? And he's doing fine. No hands on the handlebars. But part of our Christian life is to trust God completely. Yes. Completely. And whether we're in a happy place or not, that trusting God, that takes us to a very special place where there is joy unspeakable, where there is peace like a river, and we can't even imagine. Where does this peace come from? It comes from him. It's almost like just a solemn awareness that he is with you, period. It's just he's there, and you know he's there. Something bad may have happened, or something, you know, something is not going right. This is not right, but he's still there. I was thinking of Mother Teresa, and I thought, you know, she was a founder of the Order of the Missionaries of Charity in the Roman Catholic Church. And I think of all the wonderful things she did, helping the poor and serving people that would be, say, someone less savory to serve. And she would say this, because someone asked her one time, they said, I really don't know what I can do, or I don't know really what I can give. And she said, can you wash someone's laundry? Yeah? Well, you do that as unto the Lord. Bless your brothers and sisters. Oh, they don't go to our church. Bless your brothers and sisters. You know what? Can you do something like help someone go shopping for a meal or a grocery shop? Or can you spend 10 minutes in the grocery, okay, an hour, 2 hours in the grocery store, just listening to somebody's story at that intersection of your journey in life and theirs? Let them see Jesus in you. Let them feel Jesus in you. Praise God. And you know what? When that climax of the visit comes, I know people don't touch anymore, but put your hand on their shoulder. Tell them that you love them, that the Lord loves them. Pray with them. Give them some hope. Give them hope. Because you know what? I promise you that person's not going to go away going, that was weird. They're going to go away, wow, that was amazing. Thank you for that. And they do. Praise God. Who will be Jesus? I'm going to end with this. There was a song written by Bruce Carroll, and the words are this. He came home from work last night to find that she is gone. Now he's spending his first Sunday sitting on the pew alone. There are whispers all around him. His heart breaks in two. He's wondering who will reach out and help him make it through. The second verse is this. She has a reputation like the woman at the well. The only love she ever knew was the kind she buys and sells. But her thirsty heart is searching for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. And the chorus is, who will be Jesus to her or to him? Who'll show the love that's commanded in his word? Will she see in us the mighty God we serve? Who will be Jesus to her? Wounded people everywhere, and when they look at us, do they see Jesus there? Who will be Jesus to them? Who'll show the love that restores them again? Oh, they don't need a judge. They need a friend. Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus to them? I want to be Jesus to somebody. I want to be Jesus to somebody today, because there's somebody hurting today that you're going to see. And your life's journey, your eternal life's journey is going to connect with them. Let it connect in the Holy Ghost. Let your spirit, let them see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And let that chance encounter change their lives to the point where they go home at night. And you know what? They have a dream like Pharaoh. They can't sleep. They're like, what? There's something. There's something more. There's something different. I'm missing something. I need that. Praise God. Let's be Jesus to this dying world, because he will direct us and he will show us the way, because he knows the way we go, we take. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, give you praise, Lord. You're so good. Praise God. God bless you today. Praise God.